This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Our gospel lesson for today comes in two paragraphs. And we often treat these two paragraphs as separate stories. This is mostly because the second paragraph, what we call the story of the widow's mite, it just makes such a great stewardship story. And so we usually treat them as separate stories so we can focus on the widow's story. But today, I want to look at these two paragraphs together. Because when we hold them together, we can see a very important teaching from Jesus. In our second paragraph, Jesus sits down opposite the treasury, where offerings and taxes for the temple are collected. And Jesus then begins to do some people watching. He sees many rich people come to put in large sums of money. And then he sees a widow who comes to put in what we might consider to be quite a small sum of money, especially in comparison to what the rich have put in. But for the widow, this sum of money is everything that she had. The literal translation of this text is that the widow puts her whole life into that treasury. She gives everything to the temple. I wonder what prayers this woman offered when she gave everything. I wonder what hopes she may have had for how her offerings might make a difference in the world around her. I wonder at her great faith in entrusting her offering to those who ought to use that offering to God's service. And I wonder if this is part of why Jesus condemns the scribes in the first paragraph that we read. Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes. They like to walk around in long rows and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus describes a person who lords their power and privilege over others. A person who uses their power and privilege to take advantage of those who are vulnerable, people like that widow. People like these scribes were members of the institution that the widow has given her entire life to. They were meant to receive her offerings in the good faith that she gave them in. They were meant to use their power to care for people just like her. But instead, these scribes have betrayed her trust and used their power for selfish gain. And I think this betrayal of trust, this lack of accountability, is part of why Jesus condemns these scribes. With all their great power and privilege, these scribes seem to have no accountability. There is no one with the power to call them on their injustice and betrayal of their call to serve people like this widow. The widow certainly does not have the power to hold these scribes accountable. This is a heartbreaking text when you look at it all together. A widow giving everything she has in faith that it will be used for God's purpose in this world. And those who should be fulfilling that purpose betraying her trust for selfish gain. It's heartbreaking and infuriating when it looks like there is no accountability for this injustice. But this text is not without accountability. Jesus has observed all of this. And it is Christ who will hold these scribes accountable for the injustice they have inflicted upon those who are vulnerable. They will receive the greater condemnation. The widow may not be able to hold these scribes accountable, but they are accountable to God. And the truth is that we are all accountable to God. How we treat others and this creation, what we say and do, how we fail to act and speak, God observes it all. And for all these actions and inactions, we are accountable to God. I know in this world where we do not often see the direct impact of our actions, our words, our votes, our purchases, what we put out on the internet, what we listen to and support, our failure to care. When we do not see the direct impact, we can feel like our actions have no consequences, that there is no accountability. But that is not the case. All of our words and deeds, inaction and failure to care, all of it has consequences. And for all of it, we are accountable to God. Now, in our gospel, Jesus makes it clear that he holds these scribes accountable. And we too are accountable to God. And if you're wondering at this point in the sermon, where the good news is, and if I'm never going to get to it, well, friends, this is the good news. We are accountable to God. And I really mean that this is good news, because this accountability, it is not just about judgment, it is about guidance. The law of God is God's teachings. It is what guides us in how to live our lives in accordance with the goodness and the steadfast love of God. The fact that we are accountable to God means that we have God's guidance and how to live our lives so that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, so that we might follow the two greatest commandments, love God and love neighbor. Siblings, it truly is good news that we are accountable to God Because when the leaders of this world lord their power and their privilege over others, when people in power use that power to take advantage of those who are vulnerable, when rulers would lead us down paths of hatred or unchecked power like we see the scribes have, we know who our guide is. And it's not the mortals in whom there is no help. We put our trust in God because God is our guide. It's just as the words of our psalm for today say, Alleluia, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in mortals, in rulers, in whom there is no help. When they breathe their last, they will return to earth. And in that day, their thoughts will perish. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Alleluia. Siblings, our calling in this world is to follow the God described in this psalm. Our God who works for justice for those who are oppressed, who heals those who are sick and hurting, who feeds those who are hungry, who sets those who are held captive free, who cares for the stranger and the orphan and the widow, the most vulnerable and marginalized in this world. This is our God, and this is the God that we are accountable to. And this is the God who guides us. So our words and deeds, our purchases, everything we put out into this world, whether it is face-to-face or online where we don't see the impact, every action that we take in this world is guided by God for the good of our neighbors and creation. No matter who the mortal rulers of this world might be, we know who our leader is at all times. Our leader is God. Our guide is God. It is good news. It is good news that we are accountable to God, because when we live our lives with God's guidance, the world is a better place, not just for us, but for all creation. So siblings, I will sing praises to our God because we are accountable to God. And this accountability, it guides my every word and deed. Amen.